Simchas Torah and the concluding Ne'ilah service of Yom Kippur are times which are equal for all. True, they vary according to the essence of each person, but they are nonetheless equal. Simchas Torah and Ne'ilah are times of the revelation of the innermost level of the soul, the Yechidah Shebenefesh. The Yechidah is then in a state of arousal. On Simchas Torah, all Jews have an aliyah to the Torah. All Jews ascend to the Torah. At the Kiddush and daytime Suda of Simchas Torah. Yesterday, I promised to tell you a story. And don't ask me for details about it, because I will only tell you what I have been allowed to. And my intention in recounting this story is that something of essential value should result from it. The celebrated Chassid by the name of Reb Shmuel Ber of Borisov spent the festival of Simchas Torah in the year 5614, Tafresh Yud Dalid, 1853, in Lubavitch. Now the house of the Rebbe at the time, the Tzemach Tzedek, stood on the spot later occupied by the large study hall of the Taimchit Mimim Yeshiva, and in the same courtyard there stood another house in which lived his son, later to be known as Rebbe Marash. One day this chassid fell asleep in the minyan that was held next to the study of the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. He woke up suddenly and heard the Rebbe going to the house of his son, Reb Shmuel, and telling him to accompany him because his grandfather, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, who had passed away some 40 years before, had promised him that he would teach him on Mishnah from Tractate Sukkah, just as it is studied in the lower Garden of Eden. The father and son entered the room of the Tzemach Tzedek, and the chassid in the next room overheard the beginning of the Mishnah together with this explanation, and fell asleep. The next day the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, "If one overhears what one shouldn't, one is liable to get a flick. Children who grow up to be ignoramuses." Throughout his life, Reb Shmuel Ber revealed nothing of this incident, until he felt his end drawing near, and then he recounted it to my father. A person entered while the Rebbe was speaking, upon which the Rebbe said that his entry was a revelation of his thought. "Today," said the Rebbe, "I thought of you a great deal," and mentioned the person's name and the name of his mother. A niggun was sung, but hurriedly, and on this the Rebbe commented, "A situation like this arose on Yutes Kislev 5663, Tafresh Samach Gimel in 1902. At the time my father said, "When one is involved in one matter and hastens to another, this is a case of one thing in the mouth and another in the heart." This being the classic Hebrew idiom for hypocrisy. And who permitted that? The Rebbe resumed the subject of thought, one of its distinctive merits being that in thought one can be in two places at once, and another being that in thought, souls, neshamas, can serve as emissaries for salvation. For in general, all missions which are related to the material world are carried out by angels, while missions carried out by souls involve only the classification of matters of Torah study and of avoda. The service of the Creator. Eliyahu the prophet alone is assigned to both kinds of missions, in that he is also an angel, as is known. But a mission of salvation through the means of thought can be carried out by a soul as well. In Shir HaShirim there appear the words V'nezlim min levonin, and running waters from Lebanon. The Hebrew word levonin comprises two clusters of letters, Lev, Lamed Beis, and Nun. The numerical value of the letters Lamed Beis totals 32, in reference to the 32 paths of Chachma, wisdom. The value of the letter Nun is 50, in reference to the 50 gates of Bina, understanding. The verse thus intimates that from Chachma and Bina, which are in Etzem HaNeshama, the essential being of the soul which remains above, there is a constant flow into the Ha'aras HaNeshama, the reflection of the soul which is clothed in the body. For this we have two abstract explanations. The first is Koyach HaMaskil, the superconscious source of the intellect, which is in a state of constant cognition. This source does not exist only when perception reaches a state of conscious revelation. It is constantly in a state of revelation in itself, and only when a person exerts his intellectual powers does it become conscious in them as revealed intellect. This insight then becomes refined and organized through the intellectual faculties of Chabad, the acronym for Chachma, Bina, and Das, and especially through Hispeinenus, profound contemplation, which is Iyun study. The second explanation or analogy is the power of growth latent in the earth, which is constantly in readiness to function, waiting for the seed from a particular kernel to be sown. The Baal Shem Tov revealed, and his disciples, our Rebbes, explained and amplified his teaching. That is, it is within the reach of every single Jew, through cleaving to the letters of the Torah and of prayer, to transform Tzara into Tzoyhar. The Rebbe asked that a niggun be sung and instructed one of those present to conduct the singing like a malamed who points the place with his finger. He then proceeded to explain to him what kind of a person a Hasidish malamed should be. The function of a Hasidish malamed is to bring light into a household, to make the household luminous without a great deal of ingenious philosophizing, chakiris un chochmis. Your distinctive contribution is not your ability to teach the alphabet, kamatz alafa. For it was to the Tamimim, to all of you who are here, our alumni of Temchit Tamimim Yeshiva, which he founded, that my father applied the prophet's expression of affection and esteem, al kapayim chakay sicha. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And as a teacher, you have, may no ayin hara harm you, a powerful ability to illuminate your fellow Jews with the light of the Torah and the mitzvahs. You come from Neville. It is a familiar story that once the Mittler Rebbe was visited in Lubavitch by 20 on Hasidim from Neville, young men who were supported during their years of study after marriage by their fathers and fathers-in-law. While in Lubavitch, they continued their accustomed practice, daven at length, their prayers being accompanied by earnest meditation on relevant teachings of Hasidus and studying Torah assiduously. As is described in a certain letter, observing this, the Mittler Rebbe quoted two words from Tehillim, Halleluhu ben Neville, praise him with the harp, and then echoed them, Halleluhu ben Neville, praise him in Neville. And my father once said, I cherish more a butcher from Neville than a scholarly maskil from Kremenchug. One of those present asked whether it is preferable to study Torah at home or in a group, and the Rebbe gave his answer. Without a doubt, Torah should be studied in a group, in shul or wherever people gather. It is true that Torah study at home has a great advantage insofar as the tone of the household is concerned, for the respect shown at home to a husband and father should not derive only from the fact that he is the breadwinner who provides for the family's needs. It should derive from loftier things, from spiritual considerations. One's family should know that one studies and that one's mind is occupied with topics of Torah and the fear of heaven. And then at home one finds favor in a very special way. And this is the genuine domestic harmony, shalom bayis, which the Torah treasures. In the matter of domestic harmony, by the way, there are a number of misconceptions current which call for correction. Nevertheless, Torah should be studied with a group. As for the benefits which the household could gain, it is advised that when the father of the family comes home, he should explain some topic taken from his study. Some apt quotation from the Gemara, for example. The Rebbe said l'chaim over a sip of strong drink, mashke in the vernacular. L'chaim, may the Almighty grant that the mashke should go the right way, and that you all likewise go the right way. Any word may be interpreted in various directions. There is a right way in a straightforward sense, and there is a right way at ever higher levels. One ascent following the other, materially and spiritually. One of the Hasidim present asked how the Rebbe's frequent emphasis on the need for Avodah Shebelev applied to the working people who were not full-time scholars. According to the Rebbe's published statement on the subject, it would seem that this service of the heart, prayer prolonged by the disciplined contemplation of relevant themes in the teachings of Hasidus, belonged more to the realm of the scholars. For such dwellers in the tents, Yeshvi Oil, are able to devote the time demanded by such Aveda, while working people are occupied throughout the day with their business or profession. What, concluded the questioner, should their situation be? The Alter Rebbe has been quoted above on the subject of Kfiyas Benefesh, one's Torah study should be fixed in one's soul. A chassid who works for his livelihood should be like a son-in-law supported by his father-in-law. An Eidim Eif Kest. So long as one is in this situation, one has no worries. When, however, one's father-in-law begins to drop hints that conditions are such that a certain degree of help is to be called for in his business, one begins to become involved and helps out a little. Nevertheless, such a young man is still Eif Kest. So first he eats in his breakfast and drinks his fill, and only then does he set out for his father-in-law's place of business. Exactly so should a chassid esher working man be. And everyone here knows what is represented in the teachings of chassidus by eating and drinking, Torah and the Aveda of prayer respectively. May the Almighty grant a comfortable livelihood to all of Anash, together with all of our brethren of the house of Israel, so that they will be in a position to occupy themselves with Torah and Avodah.